27 students and a teacher were killed. Six of those students were from one church. This was not a church choir, but they were young Christians singing in their school choir. And immediately they tried to check on the accountability. Why did it happen? It was an old bus, and if I remember correctly, over 20 years of age, and they hadn't bothered to worry about the brakes because they were soon going to replace it. Accountability. Someone was accountable for what happened. Now, all of this week, we've had the privilege of just reviewing in our own hearts the wonderful facts that God became man. Christ was born in Bethlehem. We reviewed his wonderful life and what he did for mankind. And then how he died on the cross, bore the sins of the world, and then conquered death and arose again. And that just before he left to return into heaven, he said, "You shall be witnesses to every creature or to every person in all the earth." And I believe that God is going to hold us accountable for the carrying out of that enormous task. Now, it is enormous. Was it March of last year that our world population hit 4 billion people? You know, that staggers my mind. 4 billion. But in 12 and a half years, it's going to be another billion. So it's 5 billion. And this enormous task for which we are accountable is a growing, growing responsibility. As Pastor Logan said, I went to China. I was up in the heart of China, the province of Honan, for many years. And, you know, I can come home and say we had 33 new churches, and I can tell of all I did. But I wonder if that's enough. I'm giving you an account. But someday I'm going to stand before God and have to give my accountability of how well I fulfilled Christ's orders to preach the gospel to every creature. And as Pastor Logan was once in Taiwan and worked there for a number of years, he too can come to America and tell you what happened. And I saw some of it. Beautiful church there, started from nothing, and yet many turned to Jesus Christ. And he can tell you what happened. But his accountability is first to God. And all of us have that accountability. An accountability to God. Now, even those who are lost have an accountability. Because God has given to everyone light. The testimony of creation. Its glory. And we're accountable if we reject that and turn to atheism and turn to evolution and so on. The accountability of having a God awareness, a God consciousness, and I turn that light off and I smother that. The truth that I have perhaps heard here in America, for it's so easy to hear the gospel, radio, television, churches, and literature and everything else. And I've heard that truth, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I reject that. I then, as one who has nothing to do with Jesus Christ, will be held accountable. But we as Christians, along with having the privilege of being God's children, of experiencing his salvation, we too are accountable. Accountable to accomplish that great commission, the thing we've been talking about all week, the command of our Lord Jesus Christ to carry the gospel to every creature. Now, accountability is taught all through the Scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. You remember way back in the beginning, the first family, Adam and Eve and their children, how Cain grew angry and killed his brother Abel. It's the fourth chapter, I think, of Genesis. Immediately, God called him into accountability. He says, "Where is thy brother?" And we'll recall how Cain tried to hide it, tried to pass off that accountability. It's none of my business. It is his business. And so we too are accountable. I think one of the great illustrations of accountability is that one given by Ezekiel. In fact, given to Ezekiel, you have your Bibles. I'm glad this is a Bible church and you carry your Bibles, because after all, if you don't use your Bibles in church, where do you use them? I trust at home too. But turn with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 33. Now, Ezekiel was one of the great prophets, as you know, one of the great prophets of Israel, God's chosen people. And Ezekiel had a responsibility. And in the 33rd chapter, we find God talking to Ezekiel about his responsibility. It was sort of a missionary conference between God and Ezekiel, his servant. And notice what God has to say to Ezekiel as to his responsibility. Let's notice verses 7 and 8 of the 33rd chapter. Now, as for you, God is speaking, and he says, as for you, Ezekiel, son of man, I have appointed you a watchman over the house of Israel. So you will hear a message from my mouth and give them warning for me. That's his responsibility, to hear and to speak what he hears. He's a watchman, a sentry, a guard, appointed of God. When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you shall surely die, and you do not speak to warn the wicked from his way, that wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at your hand. That's accountability. And I recognize that in the New Testament we have the same story. Ezekiel knew that he had a responsibility. When God spoke that Israel had sinned and therefore Israel was to be punished, God was going to send punishment, Ezekiel was to be the voice and say to Israel, now look, you've sinned, repent. If you don't, you'll be punished. But if Ezekiel heard the message, failed to deliver that message, then Israel would get its punishment. But Ezekiel was held responsible and accountable to God. And as I say, that's true about us. We have experienced God's salvation. We have the right message of eternal life. And if we sit silently by, indifferent to the great missionary program of the body of Christ, the church, God will hold us accountable. And I'm sure some here, if I may be that personal, and some perhaps watching on television, if you'll be honest this morning, you'll have to admit that you have been quite prepared to be a spectator instead of a participant. That great Southern preacher Vance Havner used to say, you know, we sing about standing on the promises of God my King, or of Christ my King, but really we're just sitting on the premises, not standing on the promises. We're spectators. We're not personally involved. We're satisfied to hide behind the skirts of the church and say, my church is involved. Beloved, God's not going to ask you about your church. He's going to call you by name and ask you what you personally did in fulfilling the great commission that he's given every one of us to have a part in fulfilling. We had in China for many years a man who died in the late 60s, a man by the name of Watchman Nee. Chinese who was brilliantly educated in England. Then he was wonderfully saved. And he traveled across China and other countries of the world, warning people of their need of knowing Jesus Christ. And of course, teaching the believers. And of course, his name wasn't Watchman to begin with. Where did he get that name from? He got it from Ezekiel. He recognized that as a Christian in our generation, he too was appointed a watchman. I wonder what would happen, Brother Logan, if everybody listening over the television and everybody here would suddenly say, ah, God has not only saved me, but he has appointed me too to be a watchman, to warn people, the lost that they needed to be saved. I too am a watchman, just as much as Watchman Nee or Ezekiel. Now in the New Testament you find the same thing. And in the scripture that Dr. Weiss read this morning in the 24th chapter of Matthew, and you'll want to turn there also, you'll recall that Jesus gives this parable where he says a certain rich man called his servants and gave to them his possessions, all his. A beautiful type of what we are. We are his saved ones, his redeemed ones, his children, his servants. And everything we have is given to us by him. It's his possessions. Now you note also that he didn't give to everyone alike. It says one 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. Or $5,000, $2,000, and $1,000. In any case, there's no reason to complain. You say, how come I got the 1 and somebody else got the 5? God will only hold you responsible for what he gave you. But he will hold you accountable for that. And he'll hold me accountable for that. Now, why did he give me 1 instead of 5? Because he knew that 1 was all I could handle. That's the real reason. Isn't that loving of him to do that? If he'd given me 5 and I couldn't handle it, my accounts would look so bad. So he's just given to each one of us what we can handle. That's his loving way of dealing with us. Now, he has given everyone something. I want you to notice 2 basic truths that it relates to this, as it relates to this particular story. The first one is that, can I put it in the negative? That no servant was given nothing. Did you hear me? I've heard Christians say, well, you know, I don't have any gifts. Well, in 1 Corinthians 12, we are told that the Holy Spirit gives to every man as he willeth, as he the Holy Spirit wills, so that none of us are left out. We're like members of the body of Christ, and every member is important to the accomplishing of the purpose of the head. And the purpose of the head is that all creatures should hear. So everyone listening to my voice this morning has been given gifts that the Great Commission might be fulfilled. But if I'm not using that gift, I cripple the whole purpose of God and the accomplishing of that purpose. Because you see, I'm just a spectator standing by. So get the truth then that every single servant is given something. Therefore, every servant is responsible or accountable. Let's be honest. If you were called into account today, faced your Savior, what would you say about that which he's given you and how you used it, not to build your own kingdom, to accomplish your own desires, but to fulfill his will and get the gospel to every creature? That's a penetrating question, isn't it? You're glad your pastor is a missionary-minded pastor. You're glad your board of deacons and trustees or whatever are concerned about getting the gospel to every creature. You're thankful that last year $100,000 and more went to the to missions. But what about you? That's what God is going to ask us. And this is why Jesus made it so very, very plain. Because you see, in this parable, he is the one who went to heaven, to a far country. He is the one that made me his servant and redeemed me. He is the one who gave me gifts. And he is the one who's coming back. And I must check in with him. My accountability. It's just that simple. I wonder how I'm going to stand when I meet him. Now notice what these servants did. The first one said to his master, I risked a great deal. I went out and made an investment. And I doubled what you gave me. I thank God for people I see today prepared to risk something to get the gospel to every creature. Whether it's those who have gone or those who have sent, they are prepared to risk something. I think back the Old Testament and the New Testament. Think what Daniel risked to maintain his relationship with God. He risked going into a lion's den, and he went, and God took care of him. What if we risked to accomplish what God wants us to accomplish? Or has it cost us nothing because we're simply spectators? You can read biography of after biography of missionaries today. I want to urge you to read a very recent one called No Time for Tombstones. Strange title, but that's exactly it. There was no time to bury him. A little paperback. A man who risked something, who was given 2 talents or 5 talents, and he risked it, and it cost him his life. But when he stood in the presence of the Lord said, "You doubled it. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. What have you risked?" Now the second one who had the two talents did exactly the same. He risked something. He reported to his Lord, and his Lord said, "Well done." See, it doesn't make any difference whether it's five or two. If you use it with the same zeal, if you serve with the same desire, wholeheartedness, utter commitment to Jesus Christ, involved in his purpose of getting the gospel to every creature. Now, there was another fellow that had a sort of a philosophy of, nothing gained, nothing lost. You know, why be troubled with that? I've got my own kingdom to build. He, too, had to stand before his master. And he said, "Lord, didn't want to take any chances, so I just buried it." I believe that the biggest cemetery in the world is the cemetery filled with the talents and gifts of Christians that have been buried instead of used for the glory of God. I believe that if we would use those things which God has given us, we could reach our world in our generation. And so I trust that this will be a time when we will search our own hearts, forget everybody else, just me, sitting here in this pew or at my home saying, "Hey God, where do I stand?" Now the first great missionary was the Apostle Paul. And he believed in accountability. Turn with me to one other portion. And let me just read what Paul himself is saying. He's saying goodbye now to the church that he established in the great city of Ephesus, which was also a great city of idolatry. He went in among these idolaters. He preached the gospel. He established a church. And now he's saying goodbye to the elders of that church in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts. And notice how he so strongly believes that we're all going to be held accountable and says it to the believers. In verse 20 of the 20th chapter, "For I did not shrink from declaring unto you people in Ephesus anything that was profitable and teaching you publicly and from house to house." In other words, what Paul was saying, I went every place, publicly, out in the streets, and then knocking on doors. I felt a sense of accountability. I was responsible. I owed a debt. Now notice the next verse. "Solemnly testifying to both Jews and Greeks of repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now he not only went every place, he went to everybody. Because it's Jews and Greeks or Jews and Gentiles, he just means everybody. He made no distinction. No matter who it was, they were creatures for whom Christ died, and he had to deliver that message to everyone. And that should be our attitude. He goes on to tell us that he not only went to everybody, but he recognized an accountability. Notice verse 26. "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." Now he's referring back to Ezekiel. He knows that scripture. He says there's a blood responsibility, an enormous accountability. You know, there's some people today who sort of feel that, missions is not the important thing. It's sort of a sideline. Some people should be interested and concerned, but it's not for all of us. It is for all of us. All of us are accountable. All of us are responsible to reach all the world. And we must know this. And Paul recognized it. But he said, "Because I have preached to all, I am innocent. I am free from the blood of all men." I wonder when we meet our Lord, whether we'll be able to say that. Whether we're butcher, baker, candlestick maker, or whatever our profession might be, our avocation might be. Our vocation is to get the gospel to every creature. Now, just as I mentioned that Pastor Logan was responsible to those for those to whom he went in Taiwan, I was responsible for those who went to whom I went in China, others to Africa, others to South America, others to Europe. So you who are senders are responsible in paying and praying so that the gospel will go. And in that way, you go. So the time you spend in prayer, the checks you write, the investments you make, that the gospel might get to every creature. God will hold us as foreign missionaries accountable. We're the sent ones. God will hold the senders in the body of Christ just as responsible. And we must recognize that in a new way. Now what Paul is saying is this: I accepted my accountability. I fulfilled my obligation. I carried out my responsibility, and I paid my debt. Isn't that beautiful? I hope that everyone can say that. If you can't, do something about it. If I was a medical scientist or a doctor, and I suddenly discovered the cure for cancer, you know, the whole bag, all forms of cancer, I had the cure. And I went to my wife and said, "Honey, I got the answer, but I'm going to keep this a secret from all the world. I'm going to use it just for my family." You know, God would hold me accountable, I'm sure. But I think the world would hold me accountable. Medical science would hold me accountable. You know, why? Because I had been given a secret that would help the needs of so many people, and I kept it a secret. Now, what about my responsibility in being given the gospel? The terrible disease of sin. The wages of sin is death. I know it. But the gift of God is eternal life. I know that too. And if I keep that a secret and don't do everything within my power to make that known, I'm going to be accountable. Now, recognizing my accountability by the grace of God, not tomorrow, but right this moment, I say, "Lord, show me what you want me to do." Would you say that?